Well, good morning, and happy Mother's Day. It's a blessing to be able to remember and honor and celebrate mothers. And I know for many it's an extra special blessing if you're able to actually spend that day honoring them and being with them and celebrating them. Not a blessing that everyone gets to enjoy, but it's definitely a special blessing for some. I wanted to, before the lesson, read just a brief post related to Mother's Day. This is something I read here a couple years ago, but I just really appreciate the post itself and the balance and sensitivity in it. So the woman who writes this, she's South African and grew up in the UK, so every once in a while I'm going to be tempted to mimic her accent in reading this. But anyway, just the content, the thoughts are very good. She says, "It's Mother's Day in the U.S. on Sunday. When I was a child, Mother's Day was called Mothering Sunday. As an adult, the phrase stays with me, and I think I prefer it. It refers to the act, the work of mothering, the nurture, the care, the investment, the love, and the sacrifice. But it also seemed to acknowledge that mothering didn't only apply to women who've given birth to a child. To me, the phrase acknowledged a fundamental reality that you don't have to give birth to be a mom. That phrase is no platitude for me, it's my story. I've been raised by a village, nurtured, served, and raised to life by multiple mothering voices, multiple mothers. Today I'm surrounded by a village that raises my girls with me. I love this kind of village life. These villages are rich, multi-ethnic, multi-generational spaces, women who are married and single, some with children, some who haven't had children, all are mothers. I can't know it all, be it all. I can't be good at everything. That in and itself does not make any of us a bad mom. It makes us normal. But when a village brings all of its strength and wisdom and fun and experience to bear, it's an unstoppable mothering force that helps us all flourish. Who is your village? I ask that we tread tenderly through this weekend, that we celebrate and honor the aspects of mothering, the good and the wonderful, the mad and the mundane. Can we all be honest and just admit that the mundane is real? That we'd celebrate in the face of impossible standards we often judge ourselves and each other by. That we'd give ourselves a break and lots of grace. I also ask that we tread tenderly for the mothers of babies lost, including in the earliest stages of pregnancy before there was a bump. For every mother that buried a child. For women who feel mother is a word they can never embrace because the word they live with is infertility. Sunday can be especially alienating and painful for some of us. Let's be tender with those for whom the mother-child relationship is difficult and challenging, and for those that remember mothers that have passed away. Let's give space and grace and love for us all to be." So again, I appreciate just the balance and sensitivity and thoughtfulness in all that. But for all of us, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the one who has brought healing and brings healing for our hearts, no matter what our background and baggage and circumstances and wherever we find ourselves today. Let's begin in prayer. Father, we praise you and are so thankful to you for your wonderful love and grace and mercy and rich blessing. Thank you for today, a day that we have in our country to remember and celebrate and honor those who, in our lives who have been mothers to us, whether biological or otherwise, our mothers and grandmothers, those who've nurtured and influenced us and helped us and loved us in so many ways. That gift and that grace. And thank you for the opportunity to reflect and celebrate today. And Father, I ask that you would be with our mothers and that you would fill them up with just a sense of peace in you, that as we look at our lives and recognize shortcomings, there's the tendency and temptation to let guilt overwhelm us or drown us out. But we so often, that's not your voice that we hear, but that's Satan's voice trying to paralyze us and keep us from clinging to you and resting and standing confidently, triumphantly in the grace of your Son. And so I'd ask that you would help all mothers and grandmothers here to be at peace in you and rejoice in you and have joy as they stand in your grace. And with all those that are struggling today in various situations with the sense of loss or sadness or dreams unrealized, I ask that you would lift them up and give them joy and peace in you as well. In all things, we want to draw near to you and be more full of your love and your grace that's in Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, as I mentioned last week, our plan is to, as we read and study through the Gospels this summer, I wanted to focus our sermons on the Gospel of Matthew in particular and give special attention to the Sermon on the Mount. And so I'd like to be looking at the Sermon on that Mount today, but before we kind of go there, I'd like to just sort of set the stage. And so if you would imagine the scene with me, our government leaders are corrupt. They care about their own political ambitions rather than the good of the people. Both our personal and religious freedoms are being restricted, and you find yourself growing more and more helpless and frustrated. And our moral and religious climates know better. Popular religions divided into two basic categories. Some are very liberal. They've exchanged the truth of God for human philosophy and reason. They're worldly, they're materialistic, and they profit from those who seem to follow with blind ignorance. Others are staunch conservatives, but they hold to human traditions rather than God's will. Ultimately, they're just as corrupt as their liberal counterparts. They give the appearance of spirituality, but in reality, they're prideful hypocrites who want praise from other people. They strictly enforce their traditions as God's law, but in reality, they completely miss God's will. Their teaching is like chaff. It's dead, it's dry, and without any substance. And so you continue to grow more and more disappointed and frustrated by the world around you, and rightly so. What once seemed like a godly nation is now clearly a nation that belongs to the world. And you're starving for more. You long for substance and life. You desperately want to know God, but you don't even know where to look. You've heard about God's promises of a better future. You've heard about God's kingdom and His rule that will bring righteousness and peace, and His kingdom can't come soon enough. One day you hear about this eccentric teacher who lives off the land, and he teaches large crowds out in the middle of nowhere. His methods are unconventional, but he teaches truth with boldness and sincerity. So you decide to check him out. You head out of town and eventually come across this large crowd gathered together. And you find the reports are true. He teaches with boldness and sincerity. His message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Finally, some substance. Finally, truth. He preaches out publicly against the immoral government leaders. He sees the hypocrisy of the religious leaders and calls them out in front of everyone. More importantly, he understands the real problem is sin, and he's helping you see God for the first time in your life. He grows more and more popular every day, but despite his popularity, he keeps talking about someone who's coming after him, someone who's much greater than him. He tells you about the one who will fulfill God's promise, take away God's sin, take away your sin, and bring God's kingdom. Life is hard, but it's an exciting time. But eventually, John's arrested because he spoke out in public defense of God's marriage laws. But about the same time, a new teacher arrived on the scene. He was like John in a lot of ways. He's from some small town in the middle of nowhere, and he spent the bulk of his life working construction. He's had no formal education, yet he too taught with boldness and sincerity, and he continued John's message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Could this be the one John said would come? He doesn't look like a great teacher, but he has amazing power in word and deed. He travels all over the region teaching and healing. It's evident that God's with him. So people are coming to him from all over, traveling great distances to hear him, to have their loved ones healed by him. His name is Jesus. One day, large crowds were gathering, and he saw the crowds. He turned around and started hiking up the side of the mountain. Both his loyal followers and the crowds followed closely behind. He eventually found a level spot. He sat down, and he began to teach the most unexpected and most powerful sermon you've ever heard. he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people persecute you and insult you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice, be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. In the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt is not salty, how will it ever be made salty again? It's worthless, and you need to throw it out. You are the light of the world. If you build a city on a hill, you can see the light for miles. Think about your own homes. No one installs light fixtures underneath furniture. You install light fixtures on the ceiling so that it gives light to everyone who's in the room. Let your light shine before others in such a way that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Don't think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. I'm telling you, heaven and earth will pass away, but the smallest detail of God's law will not pass away until it's all fulfilled. And so everyone who disregards even the smallest detail in God's law and teaches others to do the same will be least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches God's commands will be great in the kingdom of heaven. I'm telling you, unless your righteousness surpasses the righteousness of the church leaders that you know, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You've heard it was said, you shall not commit murder. And everyone who commits murder will be liable to the court. But I say, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to the court. And whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever curses his brother will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you're eating the Lord's Supper, and at that time you remember that your brother has something against you, get up, leave the assembly, and go find your brother. First, be reconciled to your brother. Then come and worship God. Make friends quickly with your opponent while you're on the way to court, so you don't have to go before the judge to be convicted and sentenced by him. I'm telling you, if you go before the judge and are condemned by him, you will lose everything. You've heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so if your right eye causes you to stumble, tear it out and throw it far away. It's better to lose a body part than to have your whole body intact and go to hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it far away. It's better to lose a body part than to have your whole body intact and go to hell. And you've heard it was said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a divorce papers. But I say, everyone who divorces his wife, except for immorality, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. And you've heard it said, you shall not make false vows, but just fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say, make no oath at all. Don't swear by anything. Don't make some promises more solemn or binding than others. But you, your word, let it just be yes or no. Yes or no. Anything beyond that is evil. And you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if someone forces you to go 1 mile, you go 2. And if someone wants to sue you and take the shirt off your back, give him your coat as well. Give to everyone who asks of you. Don't turn away from anyone who wants to borrow from you. And then you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. For he causes his sun to shine on the evil and the good. And he sends his rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Politicians do that. And if you only welcome your family members, what are you doing more than others? In the people of the world that don't know God do that. You are to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Beware of practicing your righteousness in front of people so they'll notice you. If you do, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. And so when you give to the poor, don't announce it to the world like the hypocrites who want to get praise from people. I'm telling you, that's the only reward they will ever get. You, when you give, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And your Father, who sees in secret, he'll reward you. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who try to impress people with their prayers. I'm telling you, that's the only reward they will ever get. But you, when you pray, go to your closet, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret, he'll reward you. And when you pray, don't just recite empty phrases like the pagans do. They think God will hear them if they just say the right words. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Give us the food we need today. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who've wronged us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Understand, if you forgive others, your Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. And when you fast, don't be dramatic or try to draw attention to yourself like the hypocrites who want people to notice that they're fasting. I'm telling you, that's the only reward they'll ever get. But you, when you fast, clean up and act normal so that your fasting won't be noticed by people but by God in secret. And your Heavenly Father who sees in secret, he will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where things fall apart and go out of date, where things get lost or stolen. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven with God, where nothing breaks down or goes out of date, where nothing gets lost or stolen. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. And so if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if you're full of darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and he'll despise the other. You cannot serve God and the stuff of the world. So don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, and don't worry about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store up in the barns, but your Father feeds them.
aren't you worth more than birds? And what does worry accomplish? What can worry change? And why are you worried about your clothing? Look at the wildflowers. They don't buy clothes or make clothes, but you look at Solomon and all his wealth, and he couldn't dress himself like one of them. And so if God gives clothes to the grass, which is alive today and burned up tomorrow, won't he clothe you even more? You have such little faith. So don't worry saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? The people of the world who don't know God, they're consumed by these kinds of things. And your Father in heaven knows that you need all these things. So you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things, they'll be added to you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. Understand, you will be judged by the same standard that you judge others. Why do you nitpick your brother and then refuse to deal with your own problems? Or why do you worry about fixing your brother's problems while you refuse to deal with your own problems? You're picking a speck out of his eye while you walk around with a 2x4 sticking out of your eye. You hypocrite! First, deal with your own problems, and then you'll see clear enough to be able to help your brother work through his problems. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open to you. What parent do you know who would give his child a rock if he asked for food? Or if the child asked to go out to eat, the parent wouldn't give him moldy leftovers. And so if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? In everything, treat others the way you want to be treated, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many that find it. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And there are just a few that find it. And beware of false prophets. They're dressed like sheep, but they're really ravenous wolves. So you know them by their fruits. You know you don't get grapes from thorn bushes or go pick blueberries from poison ivy. Good trees produce good fruit. Bad trees produce bad fruit. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown in the fire. So you know them by their fruits. Not everyone who calls me Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not go to the right church? And didn't we eat the Lord's Supper? And didn't we put our money in the basket every first day of the week? And I'll say, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, he'll be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains fell, the floods came, the wind blew and slammed against the house. The house stood because it was built on the rock. But everyone who hears these words and does not do them, he'll be like the fool that built his house on the sand. The rains came, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell. And great was its fall. So Matthew tells us when Jesus finished these words, the crowds were amazed because he taught them as with authority and not as their scribes. There's no way I can replicate the authority of our Lord when he spoke these words the first time. I hope, though, even in just hearing his words, unfiltered, save for a few tweaks to the language, and without commentary, I hope in just hearing these words that his word is able to work on your heart and stir up repentance and obedience. This sermon we just heard, according to Matthew, is the good news of the kingdom. You look at what he says in 4:23 and 9:35 and the way he sets up this sermon. This is the good news of the kingdom. This is what it's like when the kingdom comes and God's will is done on earth as in heaven. Piggybacking off of what Jeff said last week, if the announcement of the kingdom that we heard last week is the vision for the church, as Jeff suggested, then the words of Jesus that we just heard need to be our schematic. Again, this is what it looks like when God's kingdom comes and his will is done on earth as in heaven. And so the question I want to leave you with, will you obey? Will you obey? Will you do the will of the Father? Or will you be the one crying out on the last day, clinging to some religious activity? Will you be like the wise man who built his house on the rock? Or will you be like the fool? Will you hear his word and do it? Or will you just be a hearer only? And so may all these words be written on our hearts. May they course through our veins. And may they be lived out in our words, in our actions, as chapter 5, verse 16 says, to the glory of our Father in heaven. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, again, we praise you and thank you for your power and authority that you gave in Jesus and how you demonstrated to us how great you are. You brought about victory over sin and death through the humble, obedient, loving sacrifice and death of Jesus. Help us all to take these words to heart. May you write them on our hearts. As John reminded us from Ezekiel, we don't want to have those stony hearts of idolatry and rebellion, but we want soft hearts of flesh that will be obedient and faithful and full of love for you. We could walk in your way. And so, God, please continue to work on our hearts and transform us and change us and make us like your Son in all things. May we faithfully fulfill these words, not be hearers only, but be doers. That what we hear on the last day is not, I never knew you, but well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Thank you for the hope you give us in Jesus, the victory, the power, the strength. Help us all to just be so full of you and your purpose and your love as we interact with each other and help each other as we go out into the world as salt and light. May you be glorified and honored in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here and need our prayers for anything, just need encouragement or if you're struggling with sin or anything in life, we want to encourage you and help you in that. And if you've never put on Christ and you've never devoted your life to him, we want to help you with that as well. We'd love to baptize you into Jesus that you could share in his death and also share in his resurrection. If there's anything we can do, please come forward as we stand and sing.